It went ahead, we have sinned, committed iniquity and all of that. Now, the point I want to make here is, of course, the fact that his prayer was stirred up by what he learned from the books. In fact, if you read that from the King James, it's very instructive the way it's rendered. He said, I, Daniel, understood by books. I really like that. That is, I came to an understanding from studying. Listen, let me say this again. You know, I told you I just came from a program with Scripture Union, and I was speaking to the regional chairman, and he told me something that they are, you know, daily guide. They are the one that produce daily guide, and they have some daily devotionals like that. And that the aim, that's the aim of Scripture Union. That's why they exist. That's where they were founded. It was to teach people in simple, just let's put it in simple terms, the scriptures, to help you understand the word of God. So that the daily guide was written so that a point to be made, there will be scriptural references. You have to read and, you know, digest and think. He said, but, you know, after a while, so a lot of daily devotionals that exist now is bullet devotionals. He said they are capsules, that they just take this one, swallow it, and go. You don't have to reason. You understand? And people generally prefer that. You know, just one scripture, and they declare something for the day, and then, you know, your enemies are in trouble. You know what I'm saying? And he was lamenting, all right, that people don't understand the concept, all right, of Christianity. That the idea is to understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying to explain to us again. You see, Daniel understood. You see, understanding produces prayer points for you. And it erases a lot of unnecessary prayer points. You see, you've heard me say it again and again. Most times, I've been to prayer meetings, all-night prayer meetings. Some of those all-night prayer meetings can be done in 1 hour. That is the relevant aspect of it. It should have been all-hour prayer meeting. And we'll go home and sleep. You know, this one of refusing to sleep does not impress anybody. You understand? I'm talking about God now. It doesn't impress him. It doesn't give you any special thing with him that, okay, we have not slept for the last two nights. Therefore, our problems will be solved. It doesn't mean anything. You could have stayed awake babbling. Like Paul uses the words, clanging cymbals and sounding barrels and stuff like that. You could have been there doing a lot of shouting, because without understanding, all right, the prayers don't have any meaning. You know, we'll be explaining the issue of praying according to the will of God. You know, that's what we said that the whole of last time, and I also took time out again to say it today. What it means, therefore, is that if you come to God in prayer and you don't understand anything, you are most likely praying out of the will of God, and those prayers will not get answers. You know, he said, watch your steps when you approach. Let's read that again just to get it clear. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, New American Standard says, guard your steps as you go up to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Notice the fact that they do not understand. He said, do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Please notice that there is a warning. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be what? Few. Now, let's put that together and get it very correctly what he's trying to explain. He said that when you're approaching the house of God, the primary thing that should be in your mind is what? To listen, to learn. Because when people don't have understanding, he says they are impulsive in thought, and they bring up, they are hasty in words, and they are impulsive in thought, and that's talking about their prayer. Please, follow what I'm trying to explain. That is, Daniel could have stayed in Babylon and is angry. You know, it's anger. That these Babylonians are oppressing us. And you would think it is legitimate for him to pray that they should come out of Babylon. And that would have been maybe 40 years before that. Because he went there as a little boy, a very young boy. After 20 years, he could have woken up and said, this is the year of breakthrough. We must leave Babylon. Everybody say no to Babylon. Everybody will shout no to Babylon. And you know, when you read the papers, you watch what people say in Nigeria of today, that's just how they behave. They don't have understanding about what is going on. They just feel this is wrong and this is wrong. So they feel that you must make it a prayer point. I've been to a church before. A man was leading prayer, and it was, you could see he was angry. I didn't know how to pray along with him. What is going on in this nation is not right. Old people are occupying the position that we young people are supposed to occupy. We pray that God will remove them. I say, who told you that? It's people like you that I'm serious. He said, it is injustice. You know, people carry a Luther into church. Yeah, they do that. They do that. You carry a Luther into the pulpit. We no go agree. And since we cannot use gun, we are going to use the only one we have, prayer. And, you know, we must emphasize the issue of praying according to the will of God. And therefore, they are praying out of the will of God. So God, you're looking at them like this. That these boys would have had a better blessing if they just went home to sleep. What's the reason? Lack of what? Understanding. Listen, effective prayer is impossible unless you have understanding. It is impossible. That's why, you know, people, you're in church, they say, okay, those who want prayer, come forward. Me, if you come forward and I'm there, I must listen to you first. And most of the time, I'm not praying for somebody, I'm giving him instruction. Why? Because a lot of the prayer points, they are not prayer points. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are a manifestation of the fact that this man doesn't even understand anything about life. And if you are going to join him in prayer, you are just going to be frustrating yourself anyway. Because he's not going to get any answer. The one I like to give as an example a lot of times is, okay, if I let me tell you this, it will interest you. A lady, this last time I traveled, a lady came to see me. That is, like, they asked whether I wouldn't mind counseling people. You know me, I normally don't agree to counsel, but the person asking is a senior man. I didn't know how to tell him, sir, I don't counsel when I come on invitation to teach. I teach and I go away. So I had to accept that one. The first person I spoke with, very interesting story. This lady I'm telling you about, very interesting story. How her father gave his life to Christ and he's like a fourth generation juju man, you know, that kind of thing. You know, a high priest of a particular kind of idol and all of that. And without pressure from her side, though, she prayed. And anyway, God met the man in an interesting way. The man gave his life to Christ by himself, burnt all the idols and everything. Anyway, let's make a long story short. Since then, her brothers, who are also Christians now, herself, the man, there's a financial problem. I was happy I accepted to talk anyway. Because she finished, I just knew where she was going. Because at the end of the day, they said that we talked a bit, all right, maybe for like 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And then I just said something to her. I hope you're not planning to go and start organizing prayer meeting. Actually, that was the plan. They were arranging to go to the village to go and pray. I said, you see, I told her simply, I said, let me explain a principle to you. Assuming you were a thief, all right, and you gave your life to Christ. You've been stealing for a long time. You've made money stealing. What is the first manifestation of the fact that you're not stealing again? You will be broke. Does it mean any evil spirit is pursuing you? No. The thing you were doing to make money before, you're not doing it again. It doesn't need, like they say, it doesn't need rocket science to understand that. That's why people come and tell you, say that following Christ is difficult. Don't be silly. You were a criminal before you've given your life to Christ. The only way you knew to make money was criminality. The first sign, true authentic sign, that you have really repented is you must be broke. If you still have money, we'll question that we'll question the genuineness of your repentance. You've never done straight business? I said to her, simply tell your brothers they are not cursed. The evil spirit your father threw away can't do them or you anything. It cannot do anything to your father. That God, G-O-D, small g, was a false one. How can a false God be harassing a true child of God? I said, don't go near that village, because the little money you have now, this is going to finish. Because those prayer warriors are expensive. You understand what I'm saying? They are. And they have to come from far. Okay, she being based in Abuja, you can imagine that's where they are coming from. All the way down to, I think, other Anambra or Imo State here. You imagine distance. They go chop. They have to break the fast. You know those people? The little money you had is going. I had to explain to the lady. I said, listen. If you are thinking about devils causing poverty, they don't have the power. They don't have it. The situation in your family now is that these people have all given their lives to Christ. They have to now learn a new life. And these are just the normal, you know, beginnings of things that you are learning. Maybe the man, he has been doing juju for people, and they were paying heavy. Politicians want to do election. By the time you bring him out at midnight and show him some razzmatazz, you know, he go drop. You don't do it anymore. God says, listen, now you have to learn proper business. You have to learn how to be productive. Your brothers, they are business people. They were used to doing things some way, but they don't do it like that anymore. And sometimes some Christians, not realizing that, you know what they start doing? They start becoming over-righteous. They'll come to the market. Somebody will slap them and say, praise God, you know. Turn the other cheek, slap this side. They'll be cheating them recklessly. They think it's righteousness. Somebody will come, okay, give me this thing, I will pay you later. And as a Christian, I can't refuse now. Give to all that ask of you. Then they take it away after one year, this business is ruined by bad decisions. It doesn't realize that being a Christian doesn't mean you're a softie. Yeah, no be business. Because the Oga is for sale. It's not charity. The charity shop is down there. This one is for sale. Are you not a Christian? I am. That's why I'm selling it. That is why I'm charging you a fair price. My Christianity is not in giving you free of charge. My Christianity is one, it is good quality. I stand by it. You understand? My Christianity is that if I tell you this one is made in Japan, it is made in Japan. If I tell this is Nigeria cable, you know Nigeria cable? It is Nigeria cable. It's not one that made in China and painted with Nigerian color. You understand? Green, white, green. That's my Christianity. But that you collect it without paying, oh boy, that one is foolishness. A lot of young Christians don't know that. So the first year, their business will suffer. And they say they are suffering for righteousness' sake. No, they are suffering for foolishness' sake. I mean, I had to counsel people say, the man didn't pay. So next time he came, I said, and you allowed him to come back. And he was crying that his wife and children are suffering. Hey, send them to church now where they give out free food. No, I don't want to go into that. Your wife and children are suffering. You now come to my shop. What did you see in front? If your wife and children are suffering, come to my house. We'll cook dinner and give you your portion. So sometimes, so you see Christians, they'll be walking in foolishness. And they expect God to bless it. The only thing God will give to you is survival. You know, go die. That money, you will lose it, but you know, go die. Just before you faint, somebody will give you glucose. You will leak. You will wake up again. That's what the Lord will do. And if you listen to Andrew Womack, he told the story of one man who gave his life to Christ. This guy is a farmer, you know. The land he's farming on is as big as the whole of Enugu City, if not bigger. From that calculation, it should have been bigger. Massive land that's his own, that he farms wheat. He gave his life to Christ. He went around preaching and abandoned his farm. A few weeks to harvest, he said, God that I have been working for is going to do a mighty miracle. So he went, spent $500,000 buying seedlings, and he planted it a few weeks to harvest, waiting for miracle. At the end of the day, God did a good miracle for him. He understood God better. That's a miracle. Because the seed did not grow beyond normal. Harvest time came, the whole thing died. This is the will of God. Why the earth remains? What? Seed time. There is a time to sow seed, not when you finish preaching. Seed time. There is time for it. And harvest, which also has its time, shall not cease. Now, the point I'm making is that, so that's what happens to Christians sometimes. So, the fellow thinks that, we will lay hands on this farm. And God of miracle will do something unusual. We will tie his hand with a special seed. I said, my friend, I told you there is what? Seed time. Don't miss the seed time. And if you say, I was preaching, fine. It's a sacrifice. You have given up the harvest for that year. It's called godliness with what? Contentment. God, I won't farm this year. My farm will receive Sabbath. Let it rest. Don't harass me with, you decide not to sow when everybody was sowing, or when I commanded people should sow, you now want to reap the time they are reaping. Now, so I was telling let me get back to the story I was telling about that lady. I said, listen, it's not a sign that you are cursed in any way. You've changed your lifestyle. It's like you're a doctor in Nigeria. You went to America. But the first few years, you are going to be broke. Yes, because you have to be reading. You have to. It takes you some time to read, apply for the exams, pass the exams, pass a second exam, pass a third exam. There are three of them for foreign medical graduates. Then you start applying for jobs. Until you get that job, that medical degree does not give you a dime. You know, say, since I came to America, all the evil spirits in my village, they just came here ahead of me. Now, I've been broke for the last 18 months. What did you expect? And that's how it is also. So I told the lady, your brothers are not cursed. You are on your pathway to greatness. You have to now discover your own entrance into the kingdom. Your brothers have to learn how to do business the Christian way. And God will pour a blessing upon them. I said, don't bother carrying any prayer warrior to the village. I like to say it again, especially when it comes to business people. Most of them don't understand. What's that our proverb again? 27:23. Yes. Know the condition of your flock. That is a scriptural foundation for accounting. Many people don't know the condition of their flock. Because they are selling, they are seeing millions of naira. They don't realize that most of it is material supplied on credit and you have to pay. They don't know the condition of their flock. They don't know that they are supposed to award themselves a small salary and eat with that until they do accounting and do profits, you know, take their profit and release dividends for themselves. They don't know how to grow their business based on sound accounting principles. Then when the business collapses, they say, God is calling me into ministry. To come and teach what? And because ministry is not regulated, you can rent a shop and convert it to church. Nobody will stop you. The man will not stand there and be preaching. And when the church is refusing to answer, you know what I'm saying? He said it's because he's suffering for righteousness' sake. The truth is that he's suffering for foolishness' sake. God said, close down this new shop. Go to the old shop. This is your new shop, no go work. Go to the old shop and go and do things properly. I told that lady that day, I said, listen, don't go near any village praying any prayer. I prayed with her. I can't remember rebuking any evil spirit. My rebuke would be rebuking ignorance, rebuking foolishness, making requests for understanding. Okay, remember this particular prayer point. I said, so that they will know what to do next. That's the issue. Go and see what the Bible says concerning Paul. After Paul had given his life to Christ, and God sent Ananias to him, the idea was that that man was supposed to tell him what to do. That's one thing a lot of people don't ask. What must I do next? I mean, if you have been a bad man all your life, you gave your life to Christ, you have to ask that question. Because your whole life has been wiped, erased. There was one guy I saw on TV, on a Christian network, Life Today. That's the name of the program, Life Today. There's this preacher, he interviewed some people. This guy was a mafioso. You know what they call mafioso? His father was a mafia man. He grew up in the mafia. That was the only life he knew. Enforcing, you know what I'm saying? Doing bad deals, breaking the law. He now met one Christian girl. Let's make a long story short. The day they charged him to court, the girl could not believe it was... When she was hearing the crime being charged against this fellow, she looked at the guy. No, you guys are mistaken. This man is a very nice man. But when there's that really not crime of, you know, drug dealing, prostitution, extortion, kidnapping. No, excuse me, sir. You're making a mistake. Let's make a long story short. He wanted to change his life. You understand what I'm saying? He wanted to change his life. It was when he met that young lady. He wanted to change his life. He said the only way out he could find was to go to jail. So he went and told police, I'm a criminal. These are the things I have done. He wanted to go to prison. He was saying it himself that he didn't know any other way out. Let me just go. Send me to prison somewhere far away. He grew up in that. You've seen mafia movies. That's how he grew up. That this is where I'm coming to. This is where I told the whole story. That man asked him at the point. He said, now what do you do for a living? I don't know whether I get my point. He had to ask him. So now that you're out of jail, you've abandoned the mafia life, you are now essentially you're a new man. That guy was new. Look, nobody this guy knew way. You were year two student in university, you gave your life to Christ, you still went back to class the next day. You understand my point? His own newness was not like that. His own was, the whole life was physically wiped away. The only thing remaining was his physical appearance. The money was wiped away. He had to wipe away the family. I don't know where I get my point. He didn't have a family again, apart from this young woman that who he now married. So they had to ask him, what do you now do? He had not been trained in any other skill in life apart from being a criminal. And if you know how rich mafia people can be, you can imagine how poor this guy now was. So when they asked that question, I never forgot. I watched this many, many years ago because it was a very correct question. If you saw a lot of us, the evil spirits of mafia, they are not letting him prosper. He can't prosper. He doesn't know how to do anything. So you now explain that, well, just to complete the story, for just to satisfy your curiosity. What he was doing that time was like just talking, that you know, just like share his testimony, talk to people. What he was now doing mostly was just, if I told him, like I'm here now, he goes to places like that a lot to talk to people, you know, they give him honoraria and all of that. And that's the only way he was making money. And he was writing a book. If you can't write, you can tell the story. So tell the story of how his life changed and all of that. That's, please, you get what I'm going to explain. He was learning from the basics now how to be a Christian. How to live a normal life. And that's why, what a lot of people don't understand, they now claim it is evil spirits. Talking about prayer, according to the will of God. They come to me, I pray about that. I say, pray about what? No, I'm sorry, I don't pray such prayers because that is not necessary. The prayer you need is, what must I do now? So let us pray that God will reveal to you. You'll be broke for a while, though. I won't deceive you. If you like, give me seed, you'll still be broke for a while. But one thing is that you will not be utterly discouraged. One thing is that you will be sustained. You will see miracles in your life. One day you will get up, you look at your shirt, man, you don't perforate. Before you turn around, somebody will knock and dash you two new ones. All right? You are in the wilderness. That's manna falling down from heaven. You're not going to have 20 shirts, forget it. When you're going to have 20 shirts, you'll have advanced in one thing or the other. Either you buy it yourself, or you are such a powerful man. 20 people will give you shit that they go, but for now, forget it too. And that's one thing people must understand. But of course, his life, God will give him an accelerated blessing as he walks with God. You get my point, all right? God will convert all the years that the conqueror worm stole and everything, and God will be doubling those things back for him. But there will be a time. I mean, God bless Job. It didn't mean his wife was just delivering every 6 months. That woman still had to wait 9 months. You know that? Yes. All those children, they didn't just, you just see the child at the age of 10, after 10 years, I'm 20 years old now because God gave my father a double portion of blessing. It wasn't going to happen. In the same manner, this fellow will still build business up gradually. But God will give him understanding if he continues walking with God, and then he will see the fruit in his life. It is not, that delay is not because he's cursed. Now, why did I say all of these things? Just to explain the issue of understanding. If you don't train people like this, they waste time. They'll be in church every day. Deliverance. Some of them, when you see the bald head, it's not genetic. It's too many hands being laid on the same spot. It ain't not wipe. It don't wipe. I mean, they don't need it. No matter if they meet people like me, that's the day of their deliverance. Enough prayer. Say, I'm thinking of entering Bible school. You don't need it. Go back to the market. You don't need that Bible school. Just go to fellowship regularly, buy a few books, and keep on learning. Now, I'm talking about understanding. You understand my point? And sometimes, because our time is, I will still continue this because I've not finished it. Sometimes, again, you are okay where you are. You are complacent because the Bible talks about the prosperity of a fool, the complacency of a fool in Proverbs chapter 1. Now, sometimes, somebody is complacent. God has blessed him. He has bought one nice car. He has bought 400 square meters of land. in a place that's going to be a slum in the future. He does not know. Just by the way, by the time they are cutting land, tiny, tiny land, just check your neighbors. You see everybody's struggling to pay for that land, bit by bit. Beware. That place is going to be a slum in the future. I know that's just by the way. But he has bought one, and he's feeling happy because he can pay children's school fees, and he's happy. When they are praying for blessing and prosperity, it's not necessary. He does thanksgiving. Father, I thank you on this level. What is a man looking for? And then he picks a book like my book, Grace to Prosper. And he gets to the chapter in which I talked about the vow of prosperity. Yes, he's a good man. His heart is not set on material things. Yes, she's a good woman. Her mind is set on things that are above. But she gets to that chapter on the vow of prosperity. Suddenly realizes there's a scripture that says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And suddenly realizes it's a commandment. It's not whether I like money or I don't like money. What am I looking for? No, it's not what you are looking for. It is right now you can only pay your children's school fees. You cannot pay somebody else's children's school fees. And that is not godliness. You have been blessed to be a blessing. Yes, you have your own business that employs only you, your cousin. Your wife works for somebody else somewhere. And you have to gather your salary together to buy deep freezer. So you can kill one goat a month. You know what I'm saying? How many people are you employing? Just your cousin. Two of you struggling to keep the business going. Is that how to be the head and not the tail? How are you going to command righteousness amongst the peoples? If indeed you are called into this ministry, is it not proper to be able to give 10,000 people jobs? Is it not proper to be able to help people? What is wrong with people like you giving out scholarships? Why must you pay only your own children's school fees? And the guy suddenly, his head starts waking up. He suddenly realized that money is not about covetousness. He realized that in this life, we're not unbelievers. You know, I keep on saying it. What is pushing the world is not what is pushing us. It's not that the more money we have, the more houses we build, the more places we travel to, the bigger the cars we buy. No. The more money we have as believers, the more effective we are in spreading righteousness. The more effective we are in blessing people. Suddenly, he goes back home. Say, my wife, we need to pray. What is the prayer for? Any problem? No, there's no problem in that sense. But there is a problem. We have been complacent. We have been on this mountain long enough. We've been circling the same mountain. It is now time to move northward. Suddenly, prayer arises. Are you seeing, get my point? He now says, Lord, in the name of Jesus, expand this business. That is, next day, ideas will come. Suddenly, the guy is leaping. Huh? Before you know, at the end of 5 years, he now literally has 200 people employed, 15 of them drivers, driving trucks up and down. And he has not even started. Why did the prayer work like that? Because I, Daniel, understood by books. Because I read the book. Are you getting my point? This prayer point is pure. It is not, Father, Amaka has bought a car. What? What? How can she? In the name of Jesus. You know my righteousness was always more than her own. When we were in school that time, you know what I mean? They go fellowship. She know they go. You get my point? No, this time around, when the guy prays and says, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we need 10 trucks. He said, each truck head is 25 million. So that's 250 million. He said, my wife, come, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive 250 million or the truck heads themselves. And the wife says, amen. In 6 months, they ask how many trucks? 10. They have 12. Someone now say, come and teach me the secrets. The secrets. There are no secrets. The difference is that his own, as a believer, is ignited by understanding from books. Are you getting my point? He's not ignited by competition with his neighbor. And those are the kind of people that, look, giving to them is not, today if you will just give a special offering. No, he says it's an assignment. I made a covenant with God to serve him fully. Now, I've always told you that all this one that everybody must contribute small money. If you know the kind of amount, the massive amount of money you need to preach the gospel, it is not 10 naira. God will bless people that will wake up one morning, sign a check. How much is that? It's 1.5 billion. Say it again. Amen. Amen. And you will be one of them. Amen. And the only time you will give me the testimony is the first one. That is when you are writing the first 1 billion. Say, Pastor, I just want to tell you. We have just last week we just gave the first 1 billion offering. This is the last testimony because it's going to be normal. I mean, how many times do I come and say, praise the Lord? This morning I took a deep breath and the breath came out. You only say things that life you have been sick for a while. Say, praise the Lord. Last week I did not know I was going to survive. I was joking like this, but today, look at my breath. That's when, you understand my point? That is when you have just been broken through. It's the breath through. Amen? But after it becomes normal, you don't go around testifying. When you start giving offerings at the end of every month, you write a check for 100 million naira, 50 million naira, just to be a blessing to people who are in need, to spread the gospel, to give, to maintain your scholarship scheme. You understand my point? It's not testimony anymore. It's normal life. You will not teach your children how to go beyond that level. Yes, you know, I think that, listen, don't mind all those foolish politicians. After they stole money, they go and be buying things. Here, God blesses us and we affect the environment. I've noticed that here, there's not too many crimes. All the boys who have been criminals, we have sent them to school. And they don't even know it is also. They just see one funny. We're not trying to become governor after. We're just doing the will of God. You're getting my point. Those prayer points were ignited by what? By understanding, by studying. And that's why I said they cannot listen. Your prayers in life can never be effective except you understand the word of God. I need to close. What have I explained so far? Many people are praying prayers that are unnecessary because they don't realize that that's not what their problem is. And that's why I gave the illustration of the young woman who wanted to carry prayer warriors to go and destroy things that have been destroyed. Not realizing that that was not the source of the problem. And many people are complacent, just like Daniel. He could have been settled down. I mean, he was prosperous in Babylon. You understand? He could have just relaxed. Then one day he opened his Bible. There are two ways to it. The first way is some people are angry. The reason why I'm not prospering is because we're in Babylon. If we're back in Israel, my father owned land in Judah. You understand my point? So let us pray that we'll go back to Judah. It's his desires, his personal desires that are pushing him. So it does not work. Or somebody like Daniel is in the palace. He's a settled man. He may say, what are we looking for again? After all, right here, we have food. This land is very fruitful. But both of them, if any one of them will pick the scriptures and read, and they will say that God moved us out of Judah so as to accomplish 70 years, the number of years of Sabbath required for the land. Now, 70 years is over. We need to go back to the land. Whether the man was prosperous or not is besides the point. Now, the word of God has explained to them the next direction for their nation. That now begins; it becomes their prayer point. And that prayer will be effective because it is in accordance with what? The will of God. I hope you've understood what I've said today. Let's bow down here and just give the Lord thanks. Our time is gone for the day. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the understanding of your will. Pray a prayer for yourself. Say, Lord, you know, this one we say all the time. Say, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, I shall live. Say, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that may I behold wonderful things out of thy law. Help me to understand your power, your grace, your word, your will. In the name of Jesus Christ. I declare to you again that in Christ Jesus you are free. Amen. I just feel like saying it. There's no ancestral curse that's holding you down. If indeed you have given your life to Christ, it has been broken. What you now need is to learn the ways of the kingdom, the commandments of God. Remember, we said following God involves 4 or 5 things. There are his promises. You must know his promises. You must understand his precepts, his principles, his commandments, and then your own personalized commandments. You understand the ordinances that God has commanded for believers. You put all those things together, you're on your path to manifesting the glory of God for all to see. You are not bound. You have been set free in Christ Jesus. It makes it clear that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses. All your trespasses have been forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. All things are passed away in the name of Jesus Christ. Now you have the newness of life. There are two things to that. This is a different life, and also it's a new life. It's just beginning. So you have to work on it, and you will see that somewhere, the place that God is taking you to, it may take a while, but you will get there, and you will give God the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ.